Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now, with this edition of News in Focus, is your host, Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. We're going to talk about the housing crisis in Ohio. Actually, there's a housing crisis across the country right now, and everybody is kind of scrambling as to how we're going to be able to address this problem that young families are trying to secure housing are unable to do it. In fact, rents are on the increase. Housing mortgages, of course, are becoming more difficult to obtain because of interest rates. Banks aren't lending, builders aren't building. And of course, this has led to a housing crisis. Let's listen to a report from the Ohio State House on this issue of the housing crisis.
There's a housing crisis in Ohio and across the country, created by a shortfall of affordable housing combined with high mortgage rates and rising rents. There's a shortage of about 270,000 affordable and available rental units, meaning there are only 40 affordable units for every 100 Ohio households, according to a report last year from the Coalition on Homelessness and Housing in Ohio and the National Low Income Housing Coalition. State lawmakers and Governor Mike DeWine have said they want to do something about that. The two-year budget includes a $100 million low-income housing tax credit for developers, estimated to create 4,000 affordable rental units, and a $50 million single-family housing tax credit program that seeks to help first-time buyers. This week, faith leaders and realtors were in town for legislative lunches as state lawmakers unveiled several bills addressing a lack of affordable housing and more. And my State House News Bureau colleague Sarah Donaldson has been following this. Tell us more.
Yes. So State Senator Michelle Reynolds describes it as a tale of two Ohios. Although an affordable housing crunch exists statewide, Reynolds says the demand issues in growing urban cores like Columbus differ greatly from those in shrinking rural communities like Marietta.
Everybody deserves to have a place to call their own.
Kelly Burkhardt has been volunteering with transitional housing organizations in rural Northwest Ohio for nearly two decades. To Burkhardt, also an evangelical Lutheran, housing offers someone health. It offers them dignity. The clients she works with aren't always as visible, she says. They may not be on the streets, but surfing couches. She says she believes more and more Ohioans can afford less and less. As home rental and buying costs soar simultaneously, she's watched the need for assistance swell, too.
Truly, I just know that over the past few years, and especially since COVID, the lists are getting longer.
Well, that is a report from the Ohio State House, and actually the numbers there are for there's only 40 housing units for every 100 families seeking housing right now in the state of Ohio, according to a recent report. Here to discuss this issue with us is Greg Lawson, and he is with the Buckeye Institute. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on again, Chris. It's always a pleasure to be on and talk about all the different things we're facing in Ohio, and this is certainly a growing crisis, quite frankly.
Well, it is indeed. Of course, what that report indicated is that there's legislation that's been rolled out by State Senator Michelle Reynolds. She chaired a select committee on housing in the last couple of months that a group of state senators heard from Ohioans, from the business community, basically from bankers, from builders, from NGOs, from faith organizations, from those who are dealing with housing for the homeless, heard all of these different aspects on housing in Ohio, including municipalities, of course, because of the tax assessments on housing. I know that's what you and I want to talk about here in a minute. But actually, this is a growing problem. And, you know, if you're a generational millennial or Z right now, many of them are saying, we're not sure that we're ever going to be able to buy a home. It's becoming unreachable for us to obtain the American dream. We're actually going to host a forum here in Northeast Ohio in the Wadsworth area. We're going to share that a little bit later in the program on May 13th. Mark your calendars for that, because we're going to have a forum on the history of housing lending, the current crisis, and some of the issues that maybe what we can see government address that can maybe clear the path for a better housing future for Ohio. Greg, your thoughts on this?
Well, I think there's a whole bunch of reasons that this has reached a crisis situation. You have, I think the senator put it pretty well, which is there's a variety of different issues. It's not one thing that's happening. It's multiple things happening that is highly contingent on where you're at. And you've got situations where you have, you know, a declining population, and it's difficult to reinvest in terms of upkeep and making sure you have homes that are available. And then, of course, you've got areas that are really the Central Ohio region in Ohio is doing very well by national standards in terms of growth because of the job numbers that are coming into here in Ohio, and some of those, you know, there's a lot of tech jobs that are coming to Central Ohio. So there's this real overwhelming demand for new housing units, both single-family homes as well as apartments and things like that. And it's very difficult to keep up with what's happening in particular in this region. And you're going to need a different suite of policies to deal with the issue in some of the communities that may be having challenges retaining population versus the kind of policies that you would need to have on hand to be able to increase essentially the housing stock. And that's really one of the things, especially in Central Ohio, that needs to happen. There needs to be more construction that needs to be happening, and it needs to be happening now. And that deals with, what do you do with that? You know, you can do everything from grant programs, the tax credits. There's a wide range of things that can be done, but we're going to need a lot of flexibility to look at that. I'll also say that another thing that needs to be talked about a lot, and this is one of the things that that committee did start to look at, and there's going to be some, I believe, legislation that deals with this, is looking at zoning. This is one of the biggest challenges at the local level, is how local communities zone different plots of land. The tighter and more restrictive the zoning is, and there's a whole bunch of different ways that you can make it restrictive, but the more restrictive it is, the more expensive it is to build. In some cases, there are certain kinds of housing, especially like denser housing and apartments and things like that, that may actually be completely disallowed because of a local zoning code. So if you want to increase housing, you got to look at the zoning codes and deal with the local government issues as well. If you fail to do that, you're going to be leaving an awful lot of opportunity to increase that housing stock by the wayside.
There was also a report that some of the big equity firms were actually buying up, and they were the largest owner of single-family homes across the country. And actually, it was reported that BlackRock and Vanguard in the future, short future, will own 60% of the single-family dwellings across the country. Well, you can't compete in pricing against BlackRock, a humongous global investment firm, when they own the property, when you're trying to compete for that house with a local bank. These are some of the problems that are emerging and actually exploding, not to mention the lack of just housing availability in Ohio, as we just heard that report early at the top of the program. Again, only 40 units available for every 100 families seeking a home right now in the state of Ohio. That indeed is a housing crisis in its availability. So when you talk about building, we can see that going back to the turn of 2008, when the housing industry collapsed, really is not recovered since then. Builders are talking about they had to turn away at that time. In fact, I saw it very personally where we were renting for our offices in Medina. There was a housing office building there where they were builders in this county of Medina, which was a burgeoning, growing residential county. And then when that collapse happened, they basically shifted to commercial property construction and left the housing industry altogether. They weren't alone. That was an aberration. That was across the board. So there hasn't been much single family dwelling building in Ohio in recent years, and that's only become more acute in recent years because of building costs with inflation has gone up. Banks aren't lending, builders aren't building. And as you indicated, communities are reticent to open up the ordinance, you know, variance of zoning for new housing. Some of the complaints are saying, well, we don't want multifamily units being built here because that's going to put a greater demand on our school system and on our services in the city. We just can't afford that. That's why we see what's called the McMansions. You know, when we go driving around in some of these nicer rural areas, and you'll see these huge houses on large parcels of ground. Well, that's an expensive home that most middle class or lower middle class families cannot afford, and they can't compete with that. But basically, the bankers are making money on those homes. The builders are making money on those larger homes. And, of course, the local township or municipality on their tax assessment on that home, they're making homes, making money. Who's left out? The again, middle class or lower middle class looking just to have the American dream, a home of their own. Your thoughts, Mr. Lawson?
Well, I think you're nailing an awful lot of the problems on the head. You know, you mentioned what I didn't mention initially, which is, you know, the cost of goods, the cost of producing stuff. We have here in Central Ohio, we have labor force issues. You know, you talk about even if we could get all the policies right, in terms of the zoning, in terms of the affordability, in terms of those kind of things, we still have a problem of, do we have the skilled workforce?
The tradesmen, that's right.
To be the trades. Yeah, do you have the right numbers to be able to go out and build these places? And that's, I mean, that's obviously a problem. You know, we're thinking about things like the Intel plant here in Central Ohio. We have a question about, do we have enough workers to be able to build it? And to the extent that we have those workers that are available, you know, it obviously is costing more because there's such a high demand for the services, which then feeds back into the whole problem of how expensive it is to build things. And then if you combine those kind of issues with the zoning issues, the, you know, in some sense it's called NIMBY or not in my backyard. You know, if you've got kind of a community that you like or a location or a region, you know, some people don't like to have that kind of development because that's not what maybe they bought into. So then they don't, you know, aren't as willing to open that up, and they vote for people who don't want to open that up, and they raise a stink about things when you start talking about changing the zoning and stuff. So that's what I mean when I said earlier, you got to have a suite of policies because no one thing can solve this problem. There is no silver bullet for this. We've got to get more people in the workforce. We got to get more skilled trades. That's something you and I have talked about for quite some time, Chris, is the challenges of getting people into those kind of jobs so that you have the right kind of workforce. We need to be able to have greater flexibility on the zoning. Another thing that I also should have mentioned is we need to have probably easier standardized permitting processes and planning processes.
Yes.
Like that, so that it's easier to do houses. So you don't have to go through, especially, this is more so probably for the multifamily kind of units where you're going to have a lot more permitting and challenges and having to adhere to the building code and stuff like that. So what you really need is you need simplified kind of plans. Now, I mean, you want to be a little careful, right? Because people sometimes don't like the cookie cutter approach. But on the other hand, the cookie cutter approach makes it easier to build things and get things done quicker. And we need to be able to facilitate some of those kind of things so that it's not taking forever to get the approvals on the plans, not taking forever to get approval when you need to have the inspectors go in to look at the safety and things like that of the particular building once it's there and almost ready, but maybe not quite yet for occupancy. We got to make those things simpler. And I'll tell you, these are not the kind of issues that a lot of times people kind of like to think about when we think about stuff going on at the State House or even stuff going on at your local City Hall. You know, there's a lot of hot button issues. There's a lot of things that get people really excited or angry about sometimes too, especially in this day and age. These are not those issues that really has all the appeal. It doesn't get people really jazzed up. It doesn't, people aren't saying, well, let me go to my local area commission and testify, or let me go to my city hall, a city council member and talk about why we need more of this. It's just not that kind of oomph to it, but yet these are ultimately tabletop issues, because if you don't get stuff right, as you've already said multiple times here, you've got a crisis and you've got something that is keeping what there is currently out there out of reach. And on the only way to get this into the reach of middle class and certainly folks who are struggling to break into the middle class is if we increase the housing stock. And you got to do a little bit of all the things I was talking about in order to do that. If you don't do that, all you're going to have is what we already have, and we already know that's not sufficient.
That's right. We're talking with Greg Lawson, the Buckeye Institute. We're talking about the housing crisis in Ohio. We're going to have an educational forum in Wadsworth that will be at the Nazarene Church at 7 p.m. on May 13th. Jack Boyle will be presenting, and Jack has been 37 years in the mortgage lending business. He's going to take us through the history of mortgage lending, going back to last century and to basically the 1940s, 1950s. What was the tradition of mortgage lending? We're going to talk a little bit about Mr. Potter and about George Bailey and what played out in It's a Wonderful Life, of course, with the building and loan basically making affordable housing. We are back there. The Potter of today is BlackRock and Vanguard and the other investment firms that are buying up homes all across America. And so the availability of affordable single-family homes for the middle class are becoming a rarity to obtain, even if you could secure the loan with your sizable down payment now with your local bank, is finding that housing. And what we're talking about is that builders aren't building here in the state of Ohio for a number of reasons. The legislature is aware of the problem. They've had a select committee with a number of findings that they have put together, basically 12 different action points, and they are putting together, they rolled out four pieces of legislation. Now, State Senator, the Senate President, Matt Huffman, said this is not going to be a comprehensive plan that we're able to maybe even get done this year. This is a multi-year issue legislatively to address, but it's something that we're working on and that we've launched. Greg, there's a whole other aspect to the home ownership, and of course, rents actually are increasing across the state. And in fact, I talked to one friend up in Bedford, Ohio, which was a great bedroom community of Cleveland for many years. He said, Chris, now 55% of the residents in the city of Bedford are now rentals. There was a story that was rolled out by Cleveland.com talking about rents are on the increase, and now that the government assistance during the COVID shutdown period has expired, people are struggling with these higher rents. In addition to that, homeowners, which includes landlords, are facing more assessments on their properties. In fact, I just got off the phone with our good friend Pastor John Coates talking about a additional assessment that was levied on his property in the city of Columbus and also in Franklin County last year, with an increased assessment with the local education assessment with the local schools. And it was a large one. And what it's doing is driving our seniors out of their homes. As we've talked about, this is a multi-level problem in the state of Ohio. Your thoughts on tax assessments on your home?
Well, we have too much darn local government. I'll be blunt about it. This is really the tax problem is downstream of a structure of government problem. And I could go on for a very long time talking about it, but Ohio has a very complicated and beyond that, a very large level of local government. We are a home rule state according to the state constitution. And there's some good things about this. I mean, it allows there to be more local control, more stuff for you get to work with people that you elected and you are more likely to know. I mean, every layer of government or level of government up, you know, it's a little harder to get in touch with them. It's easier to get in touch with your city council person than maybe a county commissioner. It's easier to get in touch with them than maybe a state legislator. It's easier to get in touch with a state legislator than your congressman, et cetera, et cetera. But the challenge in Ohio is with all of these different local governments and different taxing authorities, including taxing authorities that don't necessarily have to work with each other to think through what the implications are for their region. They just are thinking about their own given program. You know, the schools are thinking about the schools. Police and fire think about police and fire. The senior service levy thinks about what they got to do for that. The developmental disability, the children's service. You know, you've got all of these different sorts of services. There's conservation districts for dealing with watershed issues. I mean, there's waste disposal kind of things associated with getting rid of trash and things like that. Districts. It's really pretty remarkable how many different layers of local government there is. And each one of those layers needs funding. And it's going to get that funding from somewhere. and the most obvious place and the place that we attach most of our the revenue that's raised historically is property taxes. Now, the cities are a little bit different because they got an income tax, and that's a whole other set of issues in Ohio. But it's this layering effect. It's not that any one tax necessarily is terrible in and of itself. It's what happens when you have multiple entities, multiple levies from multiple entities, and then multiple levies from multiple entities over multiple years that all adds up. And so, you know, I think there's some work being done to sort of deal with how we do the property evaluation process. There's been some discussions at the State House of an expanded homestead exemption to help, as you mentioned, Chris, with the especially the fixed income seniors. Obviously, they own their house probably at this point, but they may be priced out of their house because of taxes, and that's obviously bad. It's really kind of it's not even biblical to have things like that happen. But in order to really wrestle with those things, all those things that we're talking about here at the State House may help a little bit. They may help, you know, make the spike a little bit less bad, put a little Band-Aid on there, and make it a little less bad today. But if we don't really tackle local government reform, if we don't ask ourselves if we need all these different local governments, I don't know that we can ever answer these taxing questions. That's really what we have to look at. So, for example, let me tell you one thing that could be done. It's a small thing, and it'll take a while for it to go into effect and really have a major impact. But this is the kind of thinking you really need. I was just in a hearing at the State House where you're talking about getting rid of a particular type of levy that makes that basically is a tax increase, even though it's oftentimes not portrayed as that. We should be making it very clear to local governments they need to be very transparent in the kind of levies that they do. There's another legislation here in Ohio that would create an automatic process to put on the ballot dissolution of villages. So these are like the municipalities that have smaller populations if they don't meet a certain threshold of services and things like that. In other words, if you have a small village and you aren't able to do certain types of services anymore, but you still levy an income tax, or you, for example, can't even get enough people to run for your city or village council, like literally you have open seats because nobody's running for office, maybe you shouldn't have a village. Maybe you should be levying an income tax on the people who happen to live there. Maybe you should be letting your township be your services. Well, the way that you do that is you got to be able to dissolve those villages. And I'm not saying that everybody wants to do that, but it should be an option. We need to clear out some of the duplicative layers of government, because every time you do that, you're starting to unwind some of those layered taxes that I'm talking about. Again, I think the president of the Senate was cracked when he said on the housing question, this isn't something you can solve this year. This, frankly, isn't something you might be able to solve in 5 years. This is going to be something where we're passing different bills that go at different pieces of this over multiple legislative sessions. But I think the thing that really needs to get across to policymakers is we need to start doing it. We can't just keep adding new taxes. We can't just keep letting local governments do that on an ongoing basis, or we're going to be having the same conversation, except even worse, in 10 years or 20 years. Basically every decade, every time you have something like this happen, it's going to become another problem whenever people get that big sticker shock, you know, that happens.
That's right.
And we need to start addressing it.
That's right.
We need to start doing it now because it's going to take a while.
Well, you brought up when we were having a conversation during the Select Committee hearings that you had actually done a study on how many assessments were on your house. And I think you mentioned 11 of them. There might even have been more. I think it would be really helpful. I think it would be really helpful if we had an application, you know, how there's a phone app that would show the homeowner how many assessments are on our property. And then if people saw that it was user-friendly, and I would be able to show someone, it's like, well, look, this is how many tax assessments are on your property right now. This is what you're paying at this rate. And if they saw that cumulatively, then people would go into the voting box a lot more educated as to whether they wanted to vote for that levy or not, of what that was actually going to translate to for them as a homeowner in that community. There needs to be more aggressive efforts here so that we can begin to police this, because what ends up happening, and we talked about homestead exemption for the seniors, and I can just see, you and I have been to these committees, I can just hear the different cities and municipalities and county executives coming in and speaking against it, actually. Because the majority of their residents may be seniors in certain cities or townships, and they don't want there to be a carte blanche exemption for the seniors, because they would see that that tax base would go away. These are some of the challenges that we're facing, but all this has to be addressed. And again, we're talking with Greg Lawson, the Buckeye Institute. Let me reiterate to you again, we're going to have a forum, an educational forum. And by the way, we can actually have this in your neck of the woods if you would like to call the Ohio Christian Alliance, say, hey, bring the team down our way, have an educational evening on the housing crisis, the history of the mortgage lending, the current crisis, and some of the issues and challenges before the Ohio legislature. We'd be happy to come and bring some of these experts to your area. You can phone us at 330-887-1922. The evening I'm talking about is May 13th at the Wadsworth Nazarene Church. That's at 7 p.m. Get there about maybe 6:45. Again, Jack Boyle will be presenting. We'll also have maybe one or two of the legislators with us that night to discuss this as well. But Greg, this is going to be a problem, as State Senator Matt Huffman indicated. This is a multi-year problem that we're going to have to address. I was concerned and a little interested that the governor, who last year talked about affordable housing in his State of the State address, didn't reference it this year. And I think it's because, quite honestly, this is a problem that doesn't have a quick resolution. Politicians don't like to talk about problems with no solution. Your thoughts?
Well, it's hard. At first, and I think the other thing is that it's hard. Look, full of politicians like to have things where they can say, I have this bill that's going to do all these wonderful things. It's either going to spend money on things we like, or I'm going to cut taxes, make you pay less taxes, or I'm going to, you know, get rid of this bad thing or give this good thing. And it's something that's easy. It's easy to put into a press release. And I certainly understand why that's the case, because what we've been talking about on this program is hard stuff. It's complicated stuff. It's many different things, and it's how all those many different things sort of work with each other to make it even more complicated than they would be on their own. And so when you try to get, you know, legislators' minds around it, it's very, very hard. Plus, look, a lot of these folks come from local government. A lot of these folks, you know, are only around for a few years. We have term limits in Ohio. That does make a difference. You know, sometimes these folks will go back to local government, and they're very sensitive to what their local city council or village council or trustees or whatnot are going to say. So, you know, you've got to really work hard to educate them on all these issues. I've been looking at local government issues now since I've been at the Buckeye Institute for over a decade, and I've spent a good deal of time doing this. And, you know, it takes a while to wrap your mind around this stuff. And so when you have legislators who aren't around for, frankly, a real long time, it's going to be hard. It makes it where they want to get easier answers. And that's why it's incumbent upon, one of the things we try to do at Buckeye Institute is, and I really think you're doing a great job by creating this forum and having Jack Boyle come out. I know Jack very well, very smart man, has a lot of great experience. I think it's important on the groups like us to keep kind of pounding on the drums, because if nobody's pounding on the drums, it's whatever the urgent thing of the moment is, that's what the legislators are going to be thinking about. We have to keep putting it out there. We have to keep doing as much as we can to simplify it as much as we can, and then giving them some options that they can do on bite-sized, you know, kind of a piecemeal basis, so that we can start getting those kind of reforms, because it's not going to happen overnight. It has to be one bill at a time, one reform at a time. I mean, I'd love to wave a magic wand. I'd love to, you know, fix all these things in one fell swoop, but I understand that's not going to happen. And so we just need to start moving it. The thing that I think is so distressing about where we're at today is this stuff has been obvious for a while, and we haven't really done anything about it.
That's right.
So we need to start doing something about it today.
Absolutely. Greg Lawson, thanks for being my guest today. God bless you, my friend, and we'll have you back on. And if you missed any of today's program, you can hear it in its entirety.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is brought to you by the Ohio Christian Alliance.